Bruno.
Yeah.
Ada Bruno.
Alright, I will say a tremendous chos. Chaim Spiro, no steam tonight. You don't got anything up your sleeve? Nothing. Okay. I will say so. A great chos, Baruch Hashem, to be here together. Erev Shabbos Chazon. It's important for us not to forget. You know, sometimes people have such a misunderstood conception of this time of year, and we think like the entire avoda is to be like tzibrochin, to be sad, to be broken. But it's important to understand the Mishnah in Maseches Tainis, it says Mishnichnasav Mema'atin B'Simcha. So what does Mema'atin mean? Mema'atin means we diminish. It doesn't say Mishnichnas av mafsikin b'simcha or mafsikin milis smoach. It says mematin. Okay, so we have to diminish. There are certain things we don't do, but never take diminution to mean the absence of simcha. There's no such thing as there's only one time that a yid is without simcha. And when is that? When you're dead. Okay, so when you're dead, there's no simcha. Remember again, a mace is chafshim in a mitzvah. A mace has no mitzvahs. So Rabbi Nachman says, mitzvah gidola lios b'simcha tamid. It's a mitzvah tazi b'simcha. So when you're dead, you're parted from all mitzvahs. You're parted from simcha also. But as long as you're alive, there's always a mitzvah of simcha. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but always a mitzvah of simcha. And Baruch Hashem, so beautiful to come together, to farbreng a little bit together, to learn a little bit together. We thank all of our sponsors. First of all, a tremendous shkoyach to Reb Tzvi, to Reb Yaakov, who else was involved, and Reb Yisrael, for the beautiful spread tonight. Where's Yaakov Ben Zaken? Yaakov, is it Moroccan enough? A little what?
We had Rahman on the people. We didn't want
a little kid. You left out a lot of the jalapeno. Okay. So it's Ashkenazic Moroccan salmon. Ashkenazic Moroccan salmon. It's a fusion. A fusion.
Confusion.
Of course. But it's mostly just you should know. I know I say every week, but like just you should know that between Rav Yaakov, Rav Yisrael, you know, there's such a, and of course from Steve with all the sponsorships, like it's just so beautiful. It's important that we mark your tov. Like there's a chevra that comes and spends however much amount of time before the shir preparing. Like this is not bought, it's not frozen, it's made fresh. Pretty sure it's kosher, you know. Somebody blessed it. Somebody blessed it. You know. So like it's sometimes like we show up, and you know we enjoy, and we forget sometimes that when we show up and we enjoy, there's mamish like a chevra or at least a mezumin. You know that Baruch Hashem was working hard. So really, thank you guys very much for just making it so beautiful, making it so nice. It's also the first shir since Rabbi Yaakov is back from the birth of his twin boys. Mazel tov, Mazel tov, Yaakov on the birth of his twin boys. Mazel tov. Shebi zocha lach nisam bevrisam sh'av mabino bizmanom. God love the Torah, the chuppah, the ma'isim tovim. Mazel tov, Mazel tov. Incredible. I just want to say thank you to all of our sponsors for tonight. First of all, a thank you to Stephen Jordan Galaskov in honor of this past Sunday's Swabathon. This was for renewal for Reb Steve's son-in-law. Baruch Hashem, they received 556 swabs, a record-breaking event for renewal. Incredible. Our family is truly grateful. Also with gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the brachos we have seen this week. Beautiful. Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld for Refuah Shleimah for Tzvi Meir Halevi Ben Sarah Leah Yocheved Bas Sarah Yetta Herschel Yisrael Ben Pesach Yentel Rezel and Meir Avram Ben Fagi. And of course, again, we thank our annual Talmud Torah sponsor, the Tilsa Mishpacha of Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this year in the Schus of Besoros Tavos Am Yisrael. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slavin Aliyah, the families in Nechama, all of those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shemir Hashem, bring home our hostages, B'Shalom and B'Karav, and allow our holy soldiers to be successful. B'Chol Maaseh Yedeihem, that we should be Zochem Eretz Hashem, that the month of Av should become a month of Besoros Tovos, Yeshua Sinechamas, Geula, for all of Klal Yisrael. Well, so that's where I'm beginning. So I apologize. The Xerox machine is occupied. It's in the middle of like a very big job. It's running off the Kinnis packets for Sunday. And I did not know. I'm not technologically advanced enough to know how to stop it in the middle. So I posted the handout for Sunday on the chat. So it's on the chat if you want on the chat. Or there are some extra svarim. Thank you to Rabbi Yaakov for bringing out the svarim. So it's an extra svarim that we have. We'll share some between the chat. But don't check your email, right? Because between the chat and the extra svarim, we'll go together. All right, Avosai. So we are continuing on the bottom of page Gimel. So remember again, Avosai, just you know, the Piagetan explained to us that our, of course, what are we trying to accomplish, right? Remember, Avosai, a little chazara. What are we trying to accomplish? What's our avoda? Right? Ultimately, to become a chassid. That's our goal, to become a chassid. That's it. Sounds simple, but ultimately, again, as we know, incredibly difficult and incredibly challenging. Of course, the Rebbe, what is a chassid? So if you remember again, we didn't have shir. What was last week? No, we didn't have shir. I wanted to say last week. But it's 2 weeks ago, remember when we had shir, 2 weeks ago when we had shir, we discussed two fundamental ideas. Number one, the Rebbe's idea that the neshama knows exactly what to do. And if you let the neshama be in the driver's seat of your life, the neshama will take you exactly where you need to go. See, Rabbi say, we spend so much time thinking that we need to figure life out. We don't need to figure life out. The neshama has life figured out. We need to get out of the neshama's way. The problem is we go through life and knowingly or unknowingly, we throw up roadblocks in front of the neshama, which prevent the neshama from navigating us in the right way. But if I'm in touch enough with my neshama and let my neshama into the driver's seat, then ultimately, again, the neshama knows exactly where I need to get to. The Rebbe said, also, by extension, we then saw, if you let the neshama know where you want to get to, that's the first step in becoming a chassid. Because what does the chassid of say? See, the distinction, the Rebbe doesn't say this, but it's very Mesilas Yisharim-esque. The distinction between a tzaddik and a chassid, a tzaddik is one who lives up to expectations. A chassid is one who surpasses expectations. The chassid understands what God wants of him and God expects of him. Okay, of course I'm going to do that. That's the expectation. But the chassid says, I want to do more. So the first step in becoming a chassid, the Piaget has already kind of clued us into, the first step, ultimately, again, is this process where I allow the neshama to be in the driver's seat, where I allow the neshama to be the driving force of my existence. So we're continuing now on the page, bottom of page Gimel. V'hu, sheherbeinu le'el b'kuntros chovas ha'tamidim, l'daber eich shetzvichem l'haschil, gam b'na'arim, u'bachurim l'or es nafsham b'avodasim. So we'll say, so much of life is simply like awakening my neshama. And I will say, what do you call it now? Like in cars, they have it. You know, if you push down on the brake enough, like the car goes into like a sleep. What is it? No. You know what I mean? Like if you push down on the brake,
it shuts off.
No? No one has a... I have a Honda. I don't want to get like that. It's not like a... Yeah, just a Honda. I'm saying, no, you push on... No? No one else has this feature? Okay. Why are you getting so many blank looks over here? All right. So let's say again, right? So... No, not cruise control. Okay. Forget it. Let's just move forward. Let's just move forward, okay? Windshield wiper fluid. All right, so what's that? So just go with it, right? So again, in certain cars, if you just depress the brake enough, right? So the car kind of goes into like a shtickle sleep mode, where what that does is over here, the car is on, but if you ever notice what happens, if it's a very hot day, if you ever notice, the air conditioning doesn't work the same way when it's in that sleep mode. Like, it's almost as if the car is on, obviously, and even when you take your foot off the brake, it takes a moment, at least in my car, to accelerate again, right? So it's fascinating. It's on, but it's in a little bit of this sleep mode. So the Piagetna says, obviously not using the same muscle, but the same yisod, is that a lot of times in life, we are in that same state. Like, I'm on, but there's like a shtickle sleep mode. Like, in other words, the air conditioning is running, but it's not really cooling anything off, right? So the engine is going, but like we're not really going anywhere. And even if I take my foot off that brake initially, the car's not really gonna move. The Rebbe says because we fall into a little bit of a state of spiritual slumber. Again, now I'm not totally asleep. I'm not asleep, right? I'm awake. I'm aware, but I'm not. The neshama itself is not awakened. The neshama itself is a shtickel dormant. He goes on. He says, so that's why one of the things we have to do, even with our youth, right, with our tamidim, with our youth, is to teach the young how to become inspired. Now, if you think about it, one of the greatest holes in Jewish education is we are masters of teaching information, but very often failures at creating inspiration. Right? And for some reason, it's interesting that for many of us, like even who went through the yeshiva system, like a lot of times, like I amassed information, like I know what to do, but isn't it crazy that for some of us, the first time like we're really inspired is in our adult lives, which is really pretty crazy. How could that be? I went through, because again, sometimes education becomes so much more about information than inspiration. The Piagetza says that's a problem. And by the way, it's a problem for the simple point that they're not mutually exclusive. You have to have information, right? If you don't have information, then you don't know how to function as a yid. But the Rebbe says just as important as giving our youth information is providing them with inspiration, awakening their hearts. Aval in anu darshim mikol maschil ba'avol. Don't supposed to listen to this. But nevertheless, we do not require from every person starting out in their avodas Hashem, she's ore behislavus gidola, umikol shekin behislavus shal tzadikim hagidolim, verishpe esh ha'ava vayira. So we'll say this is a very validating line by the Rebbe. The Rebbe says like this. Now, obviously, what we are going for, what we're yearning for is inspiration. Now, Bosai, I also want to point out, you know, it's interesting. Right? If you ask a person, like, what's inspiration? Inspiration is one of those very hard words to describe, right? Often when people talk about inspiration, they talk about things which inspire them. Music inspires me. Avart inspires me. Chassidus Shemaisa inspires me. Chassid inspires me. But what is inspiration? Or the Rebbe uses a different word. He uses the word hisorus. Hisorus is probably even a better word. Why? Because what does hisorus mean? What does hisorus mean? Awakening. Awakening. The avoda in life is to be, I was going to say woke, but that would be the wrong thing, right? Right. The avoda in life, right, is to be awakened. Right, that is the avodah life, to be awakened. I don't want to be in sleep mode. I want to be awakened. And again, because once I'm awakened, right? So once I'm awakened, then by definition, that's the path to inspiration. Either that is inspiration, or it certainly puts you on the path to inspiration. So now we understand, by the way, all these pieces are beginning to come together. The first step in my awakening, ultimately, again, is stop getting in the way of my neshama. Stop getting in the way. And I will say, by the way, I think I mentioned this last year, also appreciate, you'll say to yourself, well, how do we get in the way of our neshama? It's very simple. When we commit an avera, when a yid commits an avera, so we often, when we speak about averas, so very often, like what we're focused on or what we're hyper-focused on is the onesh, is the punishment of the averas. And that's true. Onesh, there is punishment, there is onesh for every single avera. That is absolutely unequivocally true. What we sometimes forget is that with every avera throws up a roadblock in front of the neshama. Every avera makes it more difficult for the neshama to be in the driver's seat. So the Rebbe says over here, we need to be awakened. In order to be awakened, ultimately, again, I need to go and put the neshama in the driver's seat. And in order to put the neshama in the driver's seat, well, let's see. He goes on, he says. Now, here's what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, you don't have to reach the level of inspiration of great tzaddikim. This is incredible. At least starting out, and I will say, see this line: "Aval in anu darshim mikol maschil ba'avoda she'is orbe slavus kidola." We don't demand of every person who goes out on the journey for inspiration, for wakefulness, right, to be awakened. They don't have to have the same level of inspiration or the same level of excitement as a tzaddik. It's not necessary. And I will say, this is incredibly important. Sometimes it is very, you know, life is this fascinating balance between overextending and a lack of realism. What do I mean by that? And I will say, here's a good tip. If you go ahead and you make, every person should make for themselves a to-do list at the beginning of the week. Right? Make for yourself a to-do list with things you want to accomplish during the week. I will say, if on Erev Shabbos, you've finished everything on your to-do list, what does that say about you? What does that say about you?
Didn't do enough.
Right? That you're a profound underachiever. Right? Because if you're finishing everything on your to-do list, that means you're really aiming low. Right? Otherwise, like again, my to-do list should be aggressive. On the other hand, if my to-do list in life is filled with things that are just like virtual, like impossible to accomplish, it's not realistic, then that ultimately leads to a sense of feeling of yeyosh and a sense of defeat. So all of life is like this incredible combination between, on one hand, like, you know what the nimshal is? Like the mashal is, it's like, you always have to set your goals a little bit out of your reach. You should never be able to immediately reach your goals. They should always be a little bit out of reach. But if they're on a different planet, right, then that's not going to be shayach. So it's got to be a little bit out of reach, but not too far out of reach that's unrealistic. Now, why am I saying this? Because the Rebbe says when it comes to inspiration, or maybe a better word again, is excitement, being awakened for Yiddishkeit, being excited about, passionate about Yiddishkeit, my job is not to have the same level of inspiration as a tzaddik. The tzaddik's on a different level. Right, maybe one day I'll get there, but that's not what I'm aiming for right now. That's not what I'm going for right now. And I both say, by the way, how validating is this? How validating is this? You know, so you ever read like biographies of tzaddikim, and you know, you read it and you're inspired, and then often, how do you feel when you get to the end of the book? How do you feel when you get to the end of it? And I find like, it was really interesting. Right, you just feel like inadequate. Like, I'm never going to be that person. Of course, again, what books often fail to highlight is that no one was born like that. Great people made themselves into great people. They were not born great people. I will say, when something is just too like pie in the sky, it becomes unrealistic for me. So the Rebbe says, and this is so incredibly validating, my avoda is not to become inspired like a tzaddik. That's not my avoda. My avoda is to achieve some level of inspiration, some level of spiritual wakefulness, some level of ultimately, again, being on fire and being excited about Yiddishkeit. Am I going to be like the Gadol Hadar? No. Am I going to be like the Tzaddikim? No. Maybe one day, if I keep working hard, maybe I'll get there. But right now, when I start out on the journey, I'm not going to be there. And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay not to be the best. It's okay not to be the greatest. And that's not the expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has of us. Incredible. So he goes right there. He says, Rak, she'al kol panim tisragish nafsham. So we'll say, if my avoda ultimately, again, is not to be the best and not to be the greatest and not to be the holiest, so what is my avoda? My avoda is to be awakened, to be excited, and to be inspired. That's my avoda. How do you measure that? You have your measurement, I have my measurement. That's it. And again, we're not measured against each other. We're not in a race for this. I have my avoda, you have your avoda. Bechinas, bebeis, we'll say page dalid. Bechinas, bebeis Elokim, nalach baragish. Like the pasuk says, let us ascend, let us walk to the house of Hashem with excitement. Yes.
So many of us look to, I want to be like him,
So there's a difference between having role models, right? And role models are good because what does a role model do? A role model says there's a framework that I'm aspiring to. But I think anyone who has role models, you know, you reach that point where you're like, no, I don't want to be like that person. Not in a bad way, but like, he's very different than I am. So the role model is always good because it's like, it starts you on the journey. But the avoda is never to be like that person. So Rabbi goes on. He says, "V'zeh lashon Zohar HaKadosh." He quotes a beautiful, beautiful passage here from the Zohar. So we'll say, if you skip down a little bit on page Dali, you see the brackets. See, the Zohar obviously is in Aramaic. He's quoting. Then he quotes from the Zohar in Hebrew. He says, "His orus hatachtona sheba adam nafshohi." He says, "V'znefesh hazos smucha laguf v'zonas le laguf umisachedes imo." So the Zohar writes something truly beautiful over here. He says, the neshama, the soul, has the ability, is the seat of inspiration. And something amazing happens. When the soul is awakened, the soul is able to pull the body with it. See, Rabbi Osai, very often in life, we spoke about this. Where did we speak about this? The constant tension between body and soul. We just had this in Daf Yomi, 2 days. All right. But anyway, right? There's this constant tension between body and soul. But the amazing part is that when the soul is awakened and the soul is inspired, the soul becomes the dominant force and the soul brings the body along with it. Here we go, listen to this. Okay, so the Zohar gets a little bit more esoteric, which we're not going to get into right now. But the point of it, I will say, something amazing happens, right? The Rebbe is creating for us a progression, right? I want to go ahead and I need to awaken my soul. I don't need big inspiration. I don't need big excitement. I don't even need like a tidal wave of spiritual energy. I don't need to be a tzaddik. I don't need to be a gadol hadar. I just need to somehow take my foot off that brake so that I get out of sleep mode and the neshama once again is awakened. And once the neshama gets awakened, something amazing happens, which is it will bring the guf, it'll bring the totality of me along with it, which I will say is part of the previous motif. Let the neshama do its thing. Just let it do its thing. And the neshama has everything figured out. You just have to get out of its way. We spend so much time knowingly and unknowingly putting up speed bumps and hurdles and walls in front of the neshama. The neshama's like, just get out of my way. She's my way. In other words, help me, at least don't derail me. And I promise you, if you let me do my thing, the neshama says, I'm going to take everything along with me. The Rebbe goes on. Zolso Maris. Shafilo Ezes Oros Estrakshas Hachi Klusha Shema'ora Ish Bekir Babavo. They're also listening to this. Even the smallest, weakest amount of inspiration and awakening in man, afilu hisrakshus nafsha chiyunis hasmucha leguf. Even if you only awaken the most outer, like Levi Yisharbo said, this is very, for those of us learning Tanya together, so this very much sounds like what the Bala Tanya is talking about in the beginning, where he talks about the nefesh habehemis, right? The different forms of, even if you, the point that I've been saying over here is, even if you just awaken the smallest part of the soul, any amount of inspiration, the smallest amount, kvar gila ma'at es nafsho. Ultimately, again, you have begun to uncover a little piece of your soul. Velo es nafsho levado, and ultimately, again, not just your nefesh, rak ayidei zeh gam haruach yo'orer af ha'neshama yigala. Okay, so we'll get into this a little bit more later on about nefesh, ruach, and neshama. But also, I want to point something out over here that's incredibly important. What the Rebbe is saying is, it does not take a heroic spiritual act to awaken the neshama. The smallest things awaken the neshama. And why is this important? Because again, a lot of times we have a flawed conception of spirituality. We assume that successful spirituality requires what? Successful spirituality requires one word. All right, everything. Good, that was a safe. That was a safe guess, right? Can I successfully spiritual requires consistency. They always say, "What's the problem with consistency?" The problem with consistency is consistency, right? In other words, raise your hand if you're consistent, right? Raise your hand if you're consistent in anything in life, right? We are consistent, I'm sorry, about not being, right? So we'll say, right, it's incredible. We are not consistent in anything. I'm not consistently good in my marriage. I'm not consistently good in my job. I'm not consistently good with God. I'm not consistently good with my family. I'm not consistently good with my friends. I hope I'm majority with these things, but I'm definitely not consistent. I'm definitely not consistent. And so often what ends up happening is we think that spiritual growth requires consistency. They both say, how many times does it happen? That maybe someone approaches you to do something, a spiritual avoda, and you say to yourself, you think about it, and then what do you say to yourself? I can't commit, right? So I'm not going to do daf yomi, I can't commit. I'm not going to do amud yomi, I can't commit. I'm not going to have a learning seder every day, I can't commit. I'm not going to do this, I can't commit. Okay, you're right, you can't commit. I will say, I can't commit to waking up tomorrow morning. I don't mean getting out of bed. I mean, I hope and I pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me back my neshama, but we have no idea what tomorrow brings. So I can't commit to being on this earth tomorrow, let alone make a commitment for a week from now, 2 weeks from now. You can't commit. Shkoyach. At least you're honest. At least you're honest. Right? At least you're honest that you can't commit. You can't really commit to anything. What can you do? Just try to show up day after day, and hopefully you string together a whole bunch of days of commitment. And if there's some failures in there, okay, also, you know, it's part of the godless. I always thought this is why Rav Meir Shapira, when he came up with the daf, and it's the same thing with Amid Yomi also. It's all the Yomis. He'll say, you know, Baruch Hashem, so a person zocha to finish Shas. Let me ask you a question. If after 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Shkoyach, you finish Shas, I have the most beautiful Gan Eden waiting for you, there's only one issue, I have to give you a bechina on what you learned. Right? What are you going to say? You're going to say, how hot is it down there? Right? You know, like in other words, like, you know, I'm not getting that. If there is an entrance exam, I am not getting in. Right? It doesn't make it. If you tell me ahead of time, like which blot to look at, maybe, right? Not getting in. I will say, isn't that incredible? Isn't that absolutely incredible? And I will say, when we do that Yomi or any Yomi or anything you do on a daily basis, let's be honest. There are days when I heard this expression for the first time when my boys were in the Chinah. The expression by learning, sometimes you daven it up, right? What is it to daven? It's just a terrible, terrible expression, right? Daven up means, like, we'll say there are days with Daf Yomi where if you're honest, you're just reading it. You're just reading it. Like, it's a checklist. I did the Daf. What was it about? No idea, right? Which Masechta? Not sure, right? What Daf was it? Couldn't tell you, right? But here's what I did tell you is I learned it. See, Sages have come out. What's the value of that? Of course there's a value in that. You did it. You did it. Yomi, you did it. Because I will say, we make this mistake of thinking that ultimately, again, we need consistency, we need consistent inspiration. The Piagetzna says, just do something. You're inconsistent? Shkoyach, we're all inconsistent. So, but when you can be consistent, just do it. Just stop thinking and start doing. We spend so much time in our heads strategizing plans and this and that. Just do it. The Piagetzna says, because if you just do it, where every single time you just do something, you awaken your soul. Again, I will say, that is a guarantee. Whatever I do, right? I don't normally dive in with a minion. Okay, but today I could. Right? Just do it. I don't learn every day, but today I could. Just do it. I don't give tzedakah regularly, but today I did. Just do it. Whatever you're going to do. Because when you do it, but it's inconsistent. Shkoyach. We're all inconsistent. But when you find that opportunity to do something, you've awakened a piece of your soul. And the moment that you've awakened a piece of your soul is the moment, ultimately, again, that you are closer to putting your soul in the driver's seat. And the moment that you're closer to putting the soul in your driver's seat, you're much closer to becoming a chassid. The Rebbe goes on. He says, Hakol, let's just do another few lines. Hakol, page Dalet, middle of the page. Hakol chafetzim liras shmecha. Aval har bemehem, kol yir asam, af avasam lashem, rak bedaitami. Okay, so we'll say, this is a profound piece. So Rebbe says, everyone wants to have a sense of reverence. Remember, again, I will say, he spoke about this many times. Yira does not mean fear. Rebbe says that Yira can't mean fear. Why can't it mean fear? I will say, if you fear something, then what do you do with it? What's your relationship with it? If you fear it, distance. Right? So fire, right? I fear fire. I'm distant from fire. So Yiras Hashem can't mean fear of God because we spend our entire lives trying to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yira means a sense of reverence. A sense of reverence. So ultimately, again, the Rebbe says, everyone wants to come to that sense of reverence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval har be'mehem, kol yir asam af avasam la'Hashem rak bedaitam hi. This is incredible. Both say, what's our problem? Our problem is all we have is an intellectual Yiddishkeit, an intellectual Judaism, that the only muscle we're using ultimately to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our brain, is our intellect. He says, "Shebedaitam yodim shetzichim leo v'lira me'Hashem, ul'da'avonam af litzaram enam margishim bekirbam, bepo'alo lohis rakshu ava v'lo yira." So in my mind, I know what I want. Intellectually, I know what I want. But emotionally, I'm not there. Emotionally, I'm just not feeling it. Intellectually, what do I know? that I need to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know what I need. See, we'll say, it's so interesting, right? It's not like we go through life, we're trying to, people like talk about trying to figure life out. Life is really not a mystery. It's actually not a mystery. I will say, there's one simple avoda. What's the simple avoda? David HaMelech already said it. Achos sha'alti me'es Hashem osa vakesh. I have one thing that I need. What's the one thing? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. To dwell in the house of Hashem all of my life. So the Malbim says, David HaMelech, really? That's all you need? You don't need parnasa? You don't need shalom bayis? You don't need children? You don't need health? David HaMelech says, you don't understand. If you have a relationship with Hashem, everything else falls into place. It does not mean that you get every single thing that you want. But a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu anchors you in life. A relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu steadies you in life. And when you live in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, that brings together everything. The Piyajasana says, there's no great mystery to life. I know what I have to do. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know it. I know it. There's no suffix, right? You could explain it away. You could employ different ideologies or isms or hashkafas. This, when you peel that all away, because it's smoke. It's just smoke. When you peel it all away, I know what I have to do. I know what I have to be. I know how I'm supposed to be living. It's not a shayla. So what's the problem? So if it's so clear, what's the problem? The problem is it's clear in here. It's not clear over here. It's clear in my mind. My intellect knows exactly, but I don't feel it. And when you don't feel it, it's hard to get the job done. When I know it intellectually, but I don't feel it with my heart, it's really hard to get myself where I need to be. The Rebbe goes on, Mikol Makom, Rak Rotze Lirtzos. And we'll say, here's the incredible part, right? But deep down, this is incredible. Rak Rotze Lirtzos, I love this phrase. Rotze Lirtzos. I want to want. I want to have the feeling, right? Intellectually, I know exactly what I have to do. Emotionally, I don't feel it. Maybe emotionally, I don't desire it. I know it, but I don't feel it. But I want to feel it. I both say, right? Whether we're doing a lot or a little, I want to wake up in the morning and feel the Ribono Shel Olam pulling me out of bed towards the great destiny that awaits me that day, right? I want to feel kumkari, that I want to jump out of bed like a lion because I have so much to accomplish, I have so much to be. I want to daven, not because I have to, but because I want to dialogue with my Father. I want to go out and do mitzvahs, not because I'm afraid of the repercussions if I don't, but because I know that they improve me. I want to want it. I want to feel it. V'rak yodehu she'tzarech l'ishtokei kein. Ve'inu margish lo rotzon af lo teshuka. But so much of my problem in life, Rabbi, says the Piyajetzna, is not a lack of knowledge of what I need to do. The knowledge is clear. The knowledge is crystal clear. I know exactly what I need to do. The problem is, I don't feel it. I know I have to do it, but I don't feel the desire to do it. Rabbi, isn't this it? Isn't this the totality of our challenge in Yiddishkeit? Right? Generally, people don't come and say, oh, I never knew that Judaism demanded this of me, right? Whoever knew, right? I thought there were, you know, the 36 malachas. Not no one ever says that, right? It's not that like we're Columbus discovering new land in Yiddishkeit. I know what I have to do. I know what I have to do. Intellectually, and I know what I have, I know what I should be doing. But I don't feel it. I don't feel it. So we're going to stop over here for tonight. We'll leave you a little bit on a cliffhanger. So the question is, the obvious question is, okay, so how do I get to the level where I feel it? How do I get? So now I got it. By the way, Piyajetna crystallized it for me. Now I got it. I know, first of all, that a little bit of spiritual behavior still goes a long way because every amount of spiritual behavior awakens the soul. That's great. I know that I got to put the soul in the driver's seat because the soul knows where it needs to go. I now know what the definition of a chassid is, someone who exceeds, surpasses expectations. And now, finally, the Piyajetna gave words to the very struggle I've had for my entire life. I have absolute clarity intellectually about what I need to do, but emotionally, sometimes, I'm just uninterested. So how do I awaken the emotion? How do I awaken the passion? How do I awaken the drive? Emir Tzashem, to be continued.
What is intuition?
I'm sorry?
What is intuition?
So Rosai, if you can help clean up a little bit, it'd be appreciated.
Good, so maybe we'll clean up, and then Myriv right in here. Or in the base medrash. I guess we can go to the base medrash. We'll go to the base medrash. I...